Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Some of you may recognize that Acts chapter 8 is the passage where the Ethiopian eunuch not only gets saved, but gets baptized. I know we're having a baptismal service here in just a little while. I wanted you to know I really not preaching it just for the sake of the baptism. Fact is, there's quite a bit else here that needs to be stated. In Acts chapter 8, we'll go down to verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Now, Father, thank you this morning for these folks that came out this morning. Many of our regular crowd, of course, also these visitors here that are here kind of for a special day. Father, we just pray that you'll bless the bit of time that we have together here. May it benefit all. Lord, may you fill our cups with what we need. Mainly if somebody here is still lost, we pray that you'd deal with their hearts with regard to salvation. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I said, this passage most of you recognize as a passage that could very well be preached on a day when we're going to have a baptism. But again, I did want you to know that there are quite a number of other things here in which baptism really is the least of it. This eunuch is one of the first folks in the Bible to get saved, like you and I get saved. And by that, I mean, I hope you'll recognize, if you've read the scriptures often enough, I hope you recognize this Ethiopian eunuch, unlike the folks at the day of Pentecost, did not speak in tongues. This Ethiopian eunuch, among other things, did not have any demons cast out of him, quite like Christ did in some occasions and in some places. He was not healed, as far as we know, of any physical ailment or anything like so happened so many times with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also worthwhile to point out that the Ethiopian didn't take communion this day either, as far as we know. He didn't join any local church that day, as far as we know, either. We also take note that no priests sprinkled him with water. There were no outward miracles. There was no other laying on of hands other than to immerse him in water. According to the scriptures here, I don't read where he had on any particular kind of special underwear. And I don't read... That was a little joke for the Mormons there, folks. I also don't read where he had a watchtower handed to him. All that is simply to point out some things that did not happen, but also to point out the fact that in very many ways, sometimes you can read through the book of Acts and get a little confused because there was an awful lot going on. There are an awful lot of transitions happening. But one thing's for certain, this guy got saved just like you and I got saved, if you're saved, by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, by hearing a witness preach to him about a Savior that died in our place and was a substitutionary atonement for us. He did not, as I said, speak in tongues, have any devils cast out of him, or any such things. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then in a little while was subsequently baptized. Now, that's a blessing. Now, you know, what I got thinking about with this, and what I really wanted you to see in all this, is when you read this account of the Ethiopian eunuch, it would be very hard to imagine a smoother progression of events than what actually occurred. What occurred here, most of us have not in the last few years who try to win souls to Christ, who go and knock doors and try to get a church started like Brother Steve's doing up in St. Cloud and various other things. You know, it's not that often that we see this particular ease of progression through somebody desiring the truth, receiving the truth, trusting Christ, and progressing on down the line. You just don't see it very much. This fellow, for instance, this was an honest and a reverent man before he got saved. He's sitting reading his Bible. He's sincere when somebody walks up to him and asks him if he can help him, and he receives Christ on the spot. And he's still a joyous Christian by the end of the passage. We didn't read this part yet. At the end of the passage, after he's saved. You know, there are some things here, just let me point out, that I hope to will get your attention. If you'll take notice in verse 27, this guy is a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority. Now, you know what, folks? Whenever you run upon men and or women of great authority, in our particular day and age, we've not been taught by experience to expect that person to be particularly humble. Not like this guy. You know, this fellow was said to be a eunuch. I would presume in all that was perhaps not altogether voluntary of his choice. And yet here he is, deprived. And you know what, folks? He's not bitter about that. I read where he has at least access to not only great authority, but great wealth. And yet, you've not been particularly given experience which would lead you to think that the next rich guy that you ran into in America would be particularly humble or sincere about spiritual things. You know, this fellow in verse 27, he is a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of her treasures. He came to Jerusalem for to worship. This fellow was a reverent, really reverent man. I knock doors fairly often. We go and preach on the streets and talk to folks about their souls. And, you know, I can't name all that many people I've run into in the last year just in the process of going about my daily business that are particularly all that reverent. And that would get in a chariot and drive all the way from Ethiopia all the way up to Jerusalem to merely worship God. You know, there are some other things about this guy. When Philip walks up to his chariot, I learned that he was not inhospitable. Most of us have gotten quite accustomed to having doors slammed in our faces. This fellow was not evasive. When he was asked a particular question, he answered a particular answer. He was not evasive. He did not procrastinate when he received the truth. He was not negative to the truth. All that is to say, folks, that, you know, it's hard to imagine that you could have a more likely scenario which would progress more simply and smoothly than this guy sitting there in his chariot. And, you know, these days, folks, we've experienced that it's sometimes hard. We come to expect that sinners will struggle a great deal before they finally are broken and get saved, haven't we? As a matter of fact, it goes a little beyond that, because we've come to realize these days, it seems, that even once somebody becomes a Christian, that a lot of times they have a lot of struggling, that they many times themselves have to be broken and beaten spiritually down to some form of contrition before they too even exhibit some of the qualities that this guy exhibited. You know, in the end, you know what this guy exhibited? This guy exhibited how it ought to happen. You know? A guy's sitting reading his Bible. A guy walks up and says, "You understand what you're reading?" He says, "No, as a matter of fact, I don't. Why don't you get up here beside me and show me?" And by the time the day is done, the guy is not only saved, he's not only baptized, but he's going back to his country to be a witness and rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just don't see that happen very often. And so, I wanted in particular to address that. I wanted to address some things that make this man, this is how it ought to happen. And I don't wish to live in some sort of reverie, some sort of world where it's just hypothetical and all, ladies and gentlemen. But the fact of the matter is, today, lost people struggle to get to a point where they will be saved. And oftentimes, saved people struggle to certain points where the Lord can even deal with them, His own children. I wanted to point out a few things that make this guy unique, and maybe you can see some of the contrast between him and lost people, and perhaps even in ourselves, some of us saved folks. First of all, let me point out something. Go to Acts chapter 8, and notice down in verse 27, he arose and went. This is Philip now. "And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for a worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." That's Isaiah. I wanted to, first of all, point out something to you that's a bit unusual this day and age, not only for lost people, but for saved people. I wanted to point out to you the book in his hand. And what I mean by the book in his hand, of all the things this guy was doing, of all the things this guy could have been doing, this guy was sitting in the middle of a desert place in his chariot reading his Bible. He could have been playing solitaire. He could have had the latest in gaming equipment. There's all kinds of things that he could have been doing. But instead of what he was doing, he was reading his Bible. Now, he didn't have some glossy centerfold out and open. That's not what he was looking at. He wasn't reading a Time magazine or a Newsweek. He was not didn't have the New York Times open, didn't have a novel open. And for that matter, he wasn't studying a college textbook. And all of those things that I mentioned, I'm not saying that they're sin. I'm not saying that you shouldn't study your college textbook, college students. I am saying that he marks quite a contrast to the average American, even many times the average American Christian, because he had a book in his hand. In fact, he had a book in his lap, and the book in his lap was open, and he was reading the Bible. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. That has become, sadly, a strange scene in America. You know, folks, the way things are supposed to work is men are supposed to recognize the fact that they have something missing inside. And they know that that something missing has something to do with something besides just outward material things. It has something to do with something inside. It has to do with matters of the heart and matters of the spirit. And somebody goes and turns and tries to find the source that would shed light on what's going on inside. And you know, it was not that many years ago, folks, that you could travel around this country in America. And you know, it seemed like it wasn't all that long ago that every family had a Bible thumper in it somewhere. I mean, it might be a family of moonshiners or whatever else, but somewhere in that family there was some godly old grandma or some godly old... Everybody had a Bible thumper in their family a few years ago. But I've come to believe that more and more now today the Bible thumpers are much far and much fewer between. And you know, folks, our country was founded on that Bible. I will grant you that not all of our founding fathers were Bible-believing Christians, born-again Christians, quite the way that we are. I'll grant you that that's the case in some cases. But even those lost men had the insight and the wherewithal to know
that the answers and that the precepts that needed to be set forth to a new nation were found in the Bible.
Folks, I wanted to point out to you the first thing that went right for this guy, one of the first groundworks for this guy being a very unusual, animal, particularly in our day, was the book in his hand. The book in his hand. Folks, there are many tragedies that we're facing right now as a nation, as a country, and even as a Christianity. We are told that we're all going to hell in a handbasket, that our country is going downhill. And I understand all the external things that seem to be happening are not good. And I couldn't agree more with some of those statements. But all in all, considering eternal consequences, considering the subtle lies that damn souls, considering the fact that the devil is the God, small g God, of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you would have to rank somewhere near the top of the tragedies that this country faces is the fact that no longer on a regular basis is a Bible warmed by a mother's lap. And no longer is it true, it seems, that the Bible itself is perused by sinners. And fewer and farer between evermore is the man of a home or the patriarch of a family that actually does sit as that old man that many of us have in our homes with that bread on one side, sitting, reading his Bible. Folks, you know, this is an interesting scenario. Here is Philip, and many times many of us, we take prayer requests here at our church all the time about somebody getting saved. Pray for my uncle, my aunt, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother. And, you know, there are folks here that pray all the time for an opening to be able to witness somebody, to have somebody that would be in a receptive state to receive the gospel so that they could be saved, so that they wouldn't just think that somebody that's saved and goes to Blessed Hope Baptist Church is a complete Bible wacko kook. You know, the interesting thing about all this, folks, is, you know, one of the things that we struggle with, we struggle to get sinners interested. That's the struggle that we really face. The struggle that we really face is that people have so much other stuff going on. We are forced when we knock a door. We are so often forced when we deal with people on the street. We are so often forced to be almost impolite, I suppose, in asking them to wrench their attention away from what they're doing right now to deal with something over here that's 180 degrees turned around. You understand that's a major obstacle to overcome. I just wanted to point out to you that that's an obstacle that Philip didn't have to face, because you know what? This guy already was interested. He was interested like every man in this room should be interested. He was interested like every man, woman, and child in this room should be interested. He had a book in his lap, and he was concerned about spiritual things. And all Philip had to do was walk up and say, "You understand what you're reading?" Because he already was interested. All right, I wanted to point out something else to you. Go down to verse 30. Well, let's start with verse 29. That's where we stopped reading. "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me?" You know, this guy, out of the clear blue, got saved. It's hard to imagine that things could go better than went for this guy here. And the first thing that made him unusual was the book in his hand. I wanted you to see that the next thing that made this guy unusual was the desire of his soul. In verse 31, he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" The answer was to the question, "Understandest what thou readest." You know what, folks? What made the Ethiopian eunuch a little bit different was that what he wanted was not just to read the Bible, but he wanted to understand what was in the Bible. He wanted to understand the Bible. He wanted to understand Bible truth. He wanted to understand what it was talking about. He wasn't just happy to be reading his Bible and fill out his little card, check off his three chapters a day, and I'm done. I've fulfilled my duty. That's not what he was interested in. He was concerned because he was having difficulty understanding. I just wish to say this morning that that's one of the struggles that we face, folks. And you know, I'm talking mainly this morning to Christians. I know that most of you have been born again, and if there's anyone here that hasn't, I hope before the day's out that you will. But you know, this is your battle too. This is your battle too. And more and more, as the days go by and as time goes by, it seems that Christians understand less and less. And part of why they understand less and less is the things that they have around them to distract them. Here's an Ethiopian eunuch. You know, I'm interested to see that, you know, Philip walks up there. And you know, he didn't have to turn down the TV. He didn't have to eject the DVD. He didn't have to shoo out the bimbos. He didn't have to wrench the eunuch's attention away from a fender of a old classic roadster that he was standing on, or away from his speedboat, or away from some hobby or some yard work or some such thing. He didn't have to be enticed away. He didn't have to be dragged to church and begged to come to church because, you know, we're having food tonight and we have a rock concert going tonight. And the appeals to get him in, none of that had to happen because, ladies and gentlemen, the guy wanted to understand. He wanted to understand. He had a book open in his lap, and he had already been thinking about what was in that book and meditating about what was in that book. And he was troubled because he didn't understand. And a man walks up and says, "Do you understand?" He says, "No, but I'd sure like to. Get up here and tell me." Folks, that's one of the things that marks our day as being different from some of the other days in the past. It's very difficult to get sinners interested. And it's very difficult many times to get Christians interested. This guy was not just reading the Bible as an exercise. He had been meditating on it. That's the way it ought to be. If it was that way, we would have many less slam doors. And folks, we'd have a lot less Christian tragedies. The desire of his soul. Now, you know what? There's something else that I wanted you to see here. Look in verse 34. Look in verse 34. And again, we'll start reading with verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" Well, one of the things that went different for Philip in talking to the Ethiopian eunuch was, first of all, the book in his hand. Second of all, the desire of his soul. Then I wanted you to see the object of his eye. Because you get down to verse 35 and the door is wide open for Philip, isn't it? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know what, folks? What that Ethiopian eunuch was sitting there thinking about and reading that Bible and trying to understand some things. You know what was the object of his eye was not some glossy centerfold. It was not some a religious object either, for that matter. It wasn't even the highest rung on the ladder of success. This guy is sitting here in frustrated concentration, trying to figure out who this man is that scripture told him about. He was having a terrible time trying to figure out who the Bible was talking about. And Philip walks up and he says, "What's on your mind?" He says, "Well, I don't understand. Who is this man? Who is this that's being talked about in the Bible?" Well, folks, it was about Jesus Christ, wasn't it? And you know what? Jesus Christ ought to captivate somebody's attention. You know, before you got saved, I know why you lived like you lived. You lived because, like you lived because you didn't have anything else to live for. You were God. Self was God. Your pleasures, your lusts, your cares, your affections. And then as you sowed and sowed and the misery deepened, you realized that you weren't God. And surely there must be more in life. And one day, by God's grace, apparently somebody preached to you the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just a man, not just a loving man, but a perfect man. Somebody that was undefiled and separate from sinners. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Somebody that came, was God manifest in the flesh, and came voluntarily to die for your sins, to die in your place, to die and take your licking so that He could fight a battle and win that you could never, ever win. And there was a day that the Lord Jesus, that you saw the Lord Jesus Christ in that way. He became the object of your eye. As the song says, look and live. And you saw the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up on Calvary, bleeding and dying in your place. And then somebody preached to you that He rose from the dead and that He offers you eternal life. And you took it. And you know, folks, in the same way, just because you get saved doesn't mean that Jesus Christ should not be the object of your eye. You know what made the Ethiopian eunuch different? The Ethiopian eunuch was different because he did everything right. He was perusing the Bible and trying to understand the Bible and asking questions about the Bible and really, really desiring to know who this man was that the Bible was talking about. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because he says down in verse 34, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And Philip opens his mouth and preaches to him Jesus Christ. Well, you know, it's kind of an odd contrast, isn't it? Here's the Ethiopian eunuch trying to figure out what that man's name was, and Philip preached to him Jesus. Nowadays, folks, you have lost people that know the name Jesus Christ, but don't know what to do with it. So those three things make the Ethiopian eunuch different. I wanted to show you something else. I wanted to show you here that just as this man is standing reading this Bible in his chariot, that there's another relatively unusual thing about him that made his journey an awful lot easier. And that was the friend at his side. Now, you know, folks, the friend at his side, the Bible says that evil communications corrupt good manners. It says that a companion of fools shall be destroyed. It says to go from the presence of a man when thou perceivest not in him wisdom and understanding. You know, this fellow, I don't know who was traveling with the Ethiopian eunuch, but I do know who showed up. And the guy that showed up was a witness. The guy that showed up was a preacher. The guy that showed up happened to be an apostle, as a matter of fact. Now, you're not going to get any of those that show up for you, I'm afraid to say. But God willing, you'll have a witness that shows up. God willing, you'll have somebody shows up that knows something about the Bible that's able to counsel you out of the Bible. You know the friend at the Ethiopian eunuch's side? The friend at the Ethiopian eunuch's side was a preacher. He was a witness. And, you know, there's a lot of people that folks count as friends these days. And I hear, you know, people who talk about their closest and most intimate friend, and the friend that seems to be able to sway them and move them and inspire them more than anyone else. And many times it's a childhood girlfriend or a childhood friend who they've known each other forever, and they get together on a regular basis and so on. Sometimes people go and pay good money for seminars to get light on some problem that they have and so on. You know, the Bible says, though, that it's the preaching of the cross. That's the power of God. And the Bible says for that reason that He ordained witnesses to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, one of the things that the Ethiopian eunuch did right, there was a strange man that walked up to his chariot and he said,
understandest what thou readest. And the Ethiopian eunuch's response was not, why don't you mind your own business?
If I wanted to hear that stuff, I'd go to church.
No, no. The Ethiopian eunuch's response was, how can I understand except some man should guide me? And then he invited him up in his chariot, and they sat there and talked, and the Ethiopian eunuch was born again. Now, you know what, folks? There's some things that I learn out of this. First of all, a witness needs to hurry. Look down in verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him. A witness needs to hurry. There are people that pass off into eternity every day. Now, by the same token, a sinner needs to hurry as well, because you don't know how long that you have. You don't know how long you have to make this decision. But you know, there's something else I wanted you to see, because in verse 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, understandest what thou readest. You know, there's something else that I learned there. It's not very much appreciated today. And what I learned there is that a prophet basically is supposed to get personal. A witness is supposed to get personal. A preacher is supposed to get personal. He's supposed to walk up and ask a personal question. Now, like I said, you're doing something at your house in your garage. You're working on your car and you know what you're doing. And somebody walks up and says, you know what you're doing under there? Now, I know what my initial response is likely to be. You know what I mean? Well, I just want you to know, here's a guy sitting reading his Bible. And that prophet is, the Lord says, go, join thyself to his chair. What's he saying? Go and get involved. Go and ask him. Go and ask him a personal question. See if you can get in on him. You see what I mean? Now, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that marked this situation as being different was the friend at his side. I want you to see something else. Look down in verse 35. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, you know what the Ethiopian eunuch did to get saved? He did exactly what you have to do to get saved. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, again, you weren't told here that he went through some confirmation ritual. He didn't partake of communion. He didn't join a church. And he didn't take classes. He was reading his Bible, was getting no light. And a witness, a preacher, a man came by and he invited him up. And they had a Bible study. And that preacher had some understanding in that scripture that he didn't have. And before very much time passed, all was clear to him. And that Ethiopian eunuch sat there beside Philip in that chariot, looking out the window of that chariot, listening to that prophet's voice and feeling the conviction of his heart. And you know, somewhere in the process of that little short ride, that man believed on Jesus Christ in his heart and was born again right on the spot. And you know what? It's kind of interesting because at this particular juncture, Philip didn't know that he had been born again. Because after all, when the Ethiopian eunuch says, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip had to say, well, I don't know. What do you believe? You see what I'm saying? See, even Philip didn't know. You know why? Because that is something that happens inside. It's a mistake to think that a prayer saves. Now, I believe some people get saved by praying a prayer, which they mean in the depths of their heart. I believe that. But it's a mistake to think that saying a prayer saves. Because it doesn't. It is a mistake to make things into a recipe and a formula to the extent that it's written down and you must sequentially progress through certain ritualistic steps. And when you're done with the ritualistic steps, then you're saved. Because that's not how it works. How it works is a man realizes what he is down inside, knows he has a need, gets light from the Scripture, recognizes the fact that his sins are sending them to hell, and he comes to peace with Jesus Christ in the depths of his heart and receives Him as his Savior. Okay? Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's the belief in his heart. You know, one of the things that marks people's difficulties today is their faith. And you know, this gets right back to the very first thing we said this morning, the book in his hand. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know what, folks? Sometimes we go and pound on people and quote stuff at them and all that, and they don't want it, and they don't want it, and they don't want it. And even when they don't want it, folks, I'm still forgiving it to them. But you can't marvel at the fact that folks are hard because they don't have a book open in their lap. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if they don't want to understand, if they can't see and they don't want to see, it's very difficult to get that camel to drink. Amen? But it was the belief in his heart. Somewhere sitting in that queen's chariot, that man is going along, and somewhere in the process of that little journey before he reached that water, that guy received eternal life and became a son of God because of what transpired in his heart. I want you to see something else. Look in verse 37 again. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You know what that is? That's a confession. You know, the Ethiopian eunuch didn't say, "Well, I would rather not today. It's a little embarrassing after all. I'm a man under great authority and I don't know what the queen's going to say if she finds out that I became a Christian. I was supposed to come down here and worship as a Jew, but now I'm a Christian. We better keep this quiet." No, that's not what happened for this guy. I want you to know the confession of his lips. It took him no time at all to say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now, folks, we've studied the Bible enough here at Blessed Hope to know that when a man said that he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, he was saying that he was God manifest in the flesh. And that this man had already read back in verse 32, 33, and 34 that Jesus Christ had suffered and died for his sins. He knew the truth and he confessed the truth. You know how hard, I was really delighted, folks, because when Rebecca was getting baptized today, after she got saved, she came to me within a couple of days and said, "You know, I got saved. I want to be baptized." I really appreciate that because, you know, so often these days, you know, somebody trusts Christ as a Savior and then kind of slinks off and doesn't really want to be exposed. He doesn't want to be outed. And that's a sad thing. That's what made this guy different. I want you to see something else. Look in verse 38. "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." So we come to the baptism part of this, and we're going to baptize some folks here a little bit later today. And there has perhaps been nothing that's been more misunderstood in church history than baptism. You know, folks, this is the right order. This guy puts his faith and trust in Jesus Christ and looks around and says, "There is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Folks, you're supposed to get baptized after you're saved. You say, "What does the water do?" Washes the dirt of the journey off. It gets you wet. You say, "What does the water do spiritually?" It does nothing spiritually. There is nobody that's going to get in this water today that anything is going to happen for in that water. I tell you what does happen. What happens is that since God told His children that they needed to be baptized, the Father looks on and sees an obedient child responding out of a good conscience. And the Father nods His assent. I don't know how your dad treated you, but if my dad told me to do something, you know, he didn't just follow me around and, you know, check to see that I got it done, but he would in the next little while stop by to see that I had actually done what he told me to do. Now, if I hadn't done what he told me to do, he was not happy. And therefore, I was not happy. But interestingly, you know, after he told me what to do and I did it, you know, a lot of times he didn't follow up and say, well, that was a very good job, son. I am so glad that you obeyed me. But I will say that he was glad that I obeyed him. And I tell you what it told him. It told him that I might go now, he might take me to the next step. And then since I would obey him in something small, that then I could be trusted to obey him in something greater. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. As odd as it may look in some segments of our society, as some folks are embarrassed to get in the water because their makeup might run or some such thing, but can I just ask you why you think the Lord would be terribly interested in giving you something more noble and expansive to do if you couldn't do something as simple as just getting baptized after you're saved when He told you to? You know what I mean? There's one last thing I wanted to point out to you here this morning, and that's down in verse 39. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. You know, folks, there is no record that the Ethiopian eunuch went away and got backslidden, that he went away and failed in his Christian life. We're not given, I'll grant you, any more history of him. What we are granted is that he apparently was not a cult worshiper. He did not cry and wail because he no longer had Philip who helped him get saved and who baptized him. The fact of the matter is that he went away rejoicing. Now, you know, folks, that's one of the things that marks this man as a little different than even a lot of Christians that I know, is that he was happy to be a Christian. Now, I don't know this morning if there's anybody here that's not a Christian. Now, if you're not, the Lord made this simple for a reason. It's man and the devil that have always made salvation complicated. The simplicity is Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Jesus Christ took your place. God hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, the Lord made this simple for a reason. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope that you will. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank You this morning for these folks, the patience, and we're going to take a break here in just a little bit and get dressed and get baptized. We're grateful for these folks that are coming to do so. We pray that You will bless them. We pray that You would let them know of Your pleasure in that they have obeyed Thee. We ask this morning that as this group is gathered to observe this, that You would make it a blessing to all the hearts of folks here. If anybody here again has never truly trusted Christ, we pray that You would deal with their hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 252, real quick. Let's stand. Let me encourage anyone here that's never put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ to come. We're not trying to embarrass you. What we'd like to do is take you
aside and show you privately how to know you can be saved. Number 252. Number 252. Get saved in his circumstances, I think that you can manage to get saved where you stand this morning. You understand? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. On the second. Dismissed here in just a second to remind you, I hope you'll stay around for the baptism. It'll only take us just a very, very few minutes here to get changed and get things set up here so we can have baptism. So please stick around if you will. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, we thank you once again for bringing us here, and we're glad for decisions that have been made, and we pray that you'll bless these folks for doing the right thing. We ask the message would bear fruit not only in the lives this morning of lost people, but to save as well. We pray we'd all might strive to be and have more of the characteristics like the Ethiopian eunuch. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.